and welcome to the Miko Bits Show. Got a bit of a special show for you today. I have DeFi Dad, a show that I've watched for quite a while, and now he's working at Zapper. So he's working with Seb, and I did record a show with Seb earlier, so I'll be excited to share that with you all. But Zapper, of course, is an exciting... I think... I would describe it as kind of a complete user experience for the DeFi person. But I think he's working there on Yield TV, which is an exciting video product. I think you guys, anyone who's kind of watching this stuff and interested, should definitely go over there and watch that stuff, because, you know, it's very related and very exciting and good stuff. So check it all out. So I think, really looking forward to this conversation. This is not a show that's focused entirely on Zapper, because I do have one of those episodes. So I think what we're going to do today is talk about the DeFi industry, the characters, the news, the exciting things that are happening. So, you know, I think we're really going to dig in and I think try to have a great time with this. Just a quick disclaimer, you know, anything that we talk about is information and entertainment, so, you know, definitely don't take it as investment advice. We will probably mention, tokens that people might be able to buy, but, like, you know, we're not endorsing the purchase of any of these assets. You know, do your own homework and you know, enjoy the show. So without any further ado, here is DeFi Dad.
Hey, Miko. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, great to join you, and thanks for the very generous introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. Long time listener, first time guest on the show, I guess. But, you know, terrific to have you here. So just to kick off, in terms of, like, DeFi Dad, like, how did that brand get created? I really like it. It feels very warm. It feels safe. I like it.
Yeah, it's funny because it's definitely a very genuine reflection, I think, of just who I am as a person, except with the added touch of focus on DeFi. So in the last few years, I started in Ethereum and Bitcoin and crypto in general about 3 years ago. And then I started working full time in crypto about almost 12 months after I first started learning about crypto. So around July 2018. And it's funny because, like, I was working as, like, a general sort of project manager, a little bit of marketing across lots of projects at Consensus, yep. You know, getting exposure to all these different Ethereum projects like MetaMask and Truffle and Gitcoin. And then it was in the spring of 2019, someone who was running the Ethereal Summit, they found a new job. They left very abruptly, and there was this big gap in the team to run the Ethereal Summit. And the Ethereal Summit, if anyone's unfamiliar with it, it's this awesome series of global events we used to do through Consensus. I believe they're going to start doing those again just because we've been in the pandemic.
Yeah, it's all about ETH Denver now.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, ETH Denver is another amazing event. So the whole idea was to celebrate the stories of founders and builders and evangelists and investors in the Ethereum community. And I just had a blast. Like, for about a year, I got to work on this full time, focus on the storytelling of what's happening in Ethereum. And by doing that, I happened upon how DeFi was developing. I had a background working mostly in the Bay Area, in very typical sorts of software startups. So spent a lot of time, we have a lot of commonality here. Like, I spent a lot of time evangelizing or selling what we did at different little software startups. So I would live in demos all day long, you know, showing people.
That. Yeah, like demos are everything.
Demos were everything. I was taught that you're better off to show someone than to talk about the value prop. So anyways, fast forward though, back to like 2019, I started using Compound and token sets, and Pull Together was very new at that time too. Yep. So I started trying these apps, and I mean, it just clicked. I realized, wow, like what has everyone been talking about that we need to wait for the user experience to get better? I know it's not perfect, but I just lent some money, some DAI, to Compound, and I'm earning 20%. And I did it within two transactions. And I mean, I was just talking to everyone after that, friends and family, but on Twitter, where I had mainly been more quiet, I had always been on crypto Twitter since I got started in the space, but I was definitely there listening and sort of absorbing, trying to even learn like the basics of trading, knowing that I would probably never be able to actually trade, but at least understand like the art and science of it. And I really do believe like all that listening paid off, because I suddenly had something, a secret that I knew to be true that I thought others didn't quite understand yet, and that was the fact that DeFi is the killer product market fit for Ethereum. This is
100%.
Yeah. That sort of led into that's it really. Like I would say in the fall of 2019, going into the winter, sometime around then, I was tweeting a lot of tutorials. I was basically helping people, doing lots and lots of work just in Twitter direct messages, like people asking like, hey man, I saw you did this, how does it work? Building up credibility through that. And I eventually I made some sort of like a proclamation, whatever, on Twitter that I am now DeFi dad. I've been calling myself crypto dad. And this is where I focus all my time and energy. And, there's something about that very like specific focus, I think, that resonates with people. They know that if they're following me on Twitter or subscribing to my YouTube, they know that I'm there to talk about DeFi and really nothing else. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I really hold back espousing any other views. I just try to focus on what I think is the future of DeFi. So.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's a really, it satisfies my personal curiosity, being a longtime fan of DeFi Dad. And, you know, to me, the thing that I think is really kind of great is people should go check it out. I think one of the things that makes it tick and that really, really why I kind of endorse it to everyone is, you know, it's quite different from my show in a lot of ways. I think Yield TV may be quite closer, but I would say that DeFi Dad is very much kind of how to. It's so pragmatic. And I think one of the things that is really comes through the brand is very much this generosity, because it, you know, to me, like the thing that really works is that you're really genuinely helping a lot of people, you know, and in a way it's almost perfect YouTube, right? Because my show is pretty not that good YouTube, because people on YouTube want to know how to do stuff, right? They're searching for like, oh, how do I do this? How do I connect my hardware wallet to MetaMask? Like, how do I like use this application? Like, what's happening when I do Compound? Like, how do I deal with Compound? What is a C token? You know, and they're really, really looking for hands-on pragmatic work. And, you know, how do I do this XYZ? And like, DeFi Dad is the go-to. So, you know, really appreciate your work there.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's something about just helping people, and again, being very sincere in the focus of just wanting to help people.
Yeah.
There's no doubt I have my own, like, you know, I have my own selfish motivations there. Like,
of course,
there's no doubt. I love people.
Yes.
You know, I appreciate the praise that people give and say, hey, you know, thanks so much for that help. But there's something about trying to meet them at whatever level they're at. Like,
yeah,
I remember very clearly how scary it was to set up MetaMask, how scary it was to do my first Ethereum transaction, how scary it was to try even Compound. And I think like keeping that fear fresh in my head and trying to like really resonate and listen to the newcomers, it has it's definitely like serving me well. Like my I think my greatest fear now is like losing touch with that, and then, you know, forgetting that, hey, just because DeFi has grown to 40 billion in assets under protocol, that doesn't really mean that we've like succeeded yet. You know, like for me, it's like we got to get to a trillion assets. And then when we get to a trillion, I'll probably be thinking, well, now we got to get to 10 and 100 trillion. And
yeah, I mean, what I'd love to do is touch on the tool chain and the evolution of the tool chain, because I know that the DeFi Dad brand kind of really does touch that quite a bit. Now, I do want to go on and talk a little bit closer to Yield TV, but I think from the perspective of, you know, the tool chain, obviously there's kind of these core tools. We did talk about MetaMask, which is, of course, a product of Consensus, your former organization. You know, and of course, you know, I personally encourage everyone to connect a hardware wallet to MetaMask. You know, so if you're doing DeFi, like, and you're not protected by hardware, check yourself, you know, before you wreck yourself. So, you know, use hardware. I'm speaking from personal experience. So, like, you know, I've been caught with my pants down and I've lost and gotten hacked and things. So, like, you know, it's real. So, you know, definitely do that, you know, and check out DeFi Dad. So in terms of the evolution of the tool chain, tell me a bit about that, because I feel like in the early days of DeFi, you know, it really was super complicated. And I think your shows really helped a lot of people overcome that complexity. But, you know, obviously you're at Zapper now. Like, Zapper is like incredibly user friendly. Of course, you're still using, you know, MetaMask and whatnot, but like, you know, or other similar tools. But like, how do you see the evolution of the tool chain? Do you have any kind of new favorite tools, any emerging tools? You know, I'm gonna have Ravindra from Frontier on the show. Like, you know, obviously we, yeah, cool. You know, so we're excited about kind of the emerging tools. You know, and obviously Zapper's an exciting, easy to use, wonderful tool. But tell me about, like, you know, any tools that you see coming, things that you enjoy, that you like, that you're excited about.
Yeah, I think fortunately it's still pretty straightforward. Like the list of tools that you require is pretty much the same. So I agree what you were saying about using MetaMask. I cannot imagine trying to get started with DeFi without first understanding a wallet. You know, yeah. Knowing how to store those assets securely, knowing that with MetaMask that you could have multiple wallets inside of your MetaMask account, and understanding the power of your seed phrase, which is like the almighty, most powerful thing there that can restore all of your wallets, but it also could give away all of your wealth to someone. Understanding what the private key is to each one of those wallets. So I tend to think of MetaMask, I tend to think about kind of like a Google. It's not, but just bear with me a sec. If it is like Google, each one of your wallets is like a Gmail. And the public wallet address is like the one that you give to friends and they can send you money and so on. But the private key is the password. And that's something that, you know, if you have that private key, you know, I really want like newcomers to understand that difference of, it's like you need the seed phrase, you also need the private key. It makes sense to back them both up just in case the seed phrase somehow fails you, which it could only fail you if you like wrote it out incorrectly, or maybe you're misreading, you know, what you wrote originally. So anyways, MetaMask is number one. From MetaMask, I completely agree. It's a hardware wallet. I would encourage anyone, as long as you've tried with just a few dollars, if you think you're gonna put in any amount of money, whether it's $100 or $100,000, get a hardware wallet, like a Nano Ledger or and something like a Trezor. I do find Ledgers still are more compatible. Like they tend to work better with applications. So I have no relationship with Ledger, and personally they've pissed me off a bunch in the past because they've leaked people's information. But
yes,
the hardware is really, really reliable. So we've got MetaMask, we've got Ledger or Trezor. You connect the two together, and now, even if someone if I'm keeping everything on my hardware wallet, if someone were to somehow steal, I'm trying to think of what's the best example here. Let's pretend someone gets remote access to my computer, which is actually a really scary problem that has happened across the crypto space, where people's computers get hacked. If I've got it on a hardware wallet, I mean, which looks something like, if people are unaware of this, looks something like this. Oh, there we go. There we go. Yeah, just like a little like USB type stick. It means now that I have to type in a code, and it also means that, you know, I have to physically click confirm. So, you know, if you're new, like a lot of this might fly over your head, but again, MetaMask, hardware wallet. Now going back to what the original question was, which is like, what's the new tooling
that's
really exciting? You know, I absolutely believe that we're going to have easier wallet experiences, whether it's a MetaMask mobile or whether it is something like Argent, where Argent removes the seed phrase. Everything that I just talked about, all the worries of like writing down these private keys and seed phrases is gone because they've created this, I think, much more intelligent design to help you back up your access to that wallet. So something like that, I would highly encourage that. Even like a Coinbase wallet, there's a self custody. So this is like not controlled by Coinbase, but it's a wallet like Argent or MetaMask that allows you to interact with DeFi. The next thing then, this is why I joined Zapper, is Zapper. I mean, you need to store your assets securely, but you also need to be able to track, you know, how they're performing. If you participate in DeFi, you need to know, like, have I earned any interest? Is my money going up? Is it going down? Where is it? You know, Zapper, in many cases, too, can even, you know, reveal to you that you do have money in places you didn't know about. That's a really common story we find where you connect your Ethereum wallet and they say, oh, shoot, I didn't know I had money there. That's nice.
Well, kind airdrops like show up, too.
In the couch.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cool things that pop up when you use Zapper.
Absolutely. The other part of Zapper, too, without going too much into Zapper here, is just that we mean to make it like an all-in-one, like one-stop dashboard for DeFi. So aside from me being able to track my assets, you can also invest in, there's now over 1,000 liquidity provisions and vaults. So vaults like the automated yield farming on Yearn.finance. And there's also, I think we're close to about 700, might be even closer to 1,000. I haven't checked today on our farming dashboard. So once you get past the simplest use cases in DeFi, which are normally lending to earn interest, or you know, maybe trading, simply holding an asset in your wallet, like we talked about, there's lots more sophisticated opportunities, you know, that will allow you to earn competitively. And those, anyways, my point is this: we provide DeFi shortcuts. So normally you would have to click around to all sorts of different applications, different windows. You have to navigate all these different steps. And what we're doing is trying to consolidate it so that it's all there on Zapper, and you just, you know, you click invest and then sort of follow all of the following steps. So I think we covered storage, tracking, somewhat of an on-ramp to investing with what is the Zapper Invest page and the Zapper Farm page. I'd say like the next most important tool that comes to mind is a DEX aggregator. A lot of people will fall into the trap of going to like a Uniswap, which, as much as I love Uniswap, and I probably, you know, do more trades on Uniswap technically than any other automated market maker, you're better off just using a DEX aggregator, which also happens to be on Zapper if you click into the exchange. But there's others like 1inch, Matcha, which is, we're actually identical to Matcha, and Paraswap. And Slingshot will be coming soon. So those are like Google search engines for the best trade in DeFi. So don't go trade on an individual DEX unless you're looking to do something like trade on layer two with Loopring, or maybe trade on layer two with, you know, something like Diversify. So yeah, those are the key tools. You know, like there's some others that come to mind. Like, we think a lot about lending in DeFi, and one of the tools I think people forget about is what's called a yield bouncer. So a lot of, for those of us who have an asset, if it sits idle in your wallet, the question is, why not lend it so that I can earn interest on top of it? I'm already sitting on it. I already intend to hold it. Why not earn something extra? And the common places to lend it are Aave, Compound, BZX, Cream, Notional Finance, Nuo. So there's all these options, but what if you could have it move to whatever pool is offering the highest lending interest? That's what a yield bouncer does. So if you go to idle.finance or rari.capital, those are the two most popular yield bouncers now.
That's great to hear. And just a quick side note, like, you know, I'm definitely my fund is invested in Idle Finance, so we definitely our supporters,
are. Oh,
full
cool.
Full disclosure, so big fans of them. You know, we did speak of them a little bit did a show with Emilio Bonassi, so we talked about our mutual friend Matteo. I will have him on the show for Idle in the near future. And I did actually have Jay and David from Rari Capital on my show as well, but I haven't posted that yet. But I appreciate the shout out to that class of investment, because I do think that, you know, it's up and coming. I think those are really exciting areas, you know, in DeFi and things that people should be paying more attention to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, I love the way you lead with the integrity of disclosing whether you have exposure to it. And I can say so far, I mean, other than everyone knows I work at Zapper at the point, but I actually do the same. So I will call out, if we talk about any applications here that have a token involved, I'll call that out. But so far, I think we're okay. All of these,
I'm
actually more of a user of all of these applications.
Yep.
The last one on the chain of tools that we're talking about, like what's the stuff that's like the meat and potatoes that I think a newer user like really needs access to, is the one thing we left out is insurance. So, you know, insurance is a complicated sort of question to ask whether one needs it in DeFi from the start.
Yeah.
Because people tend to move money around a lot. So you have to be cautious about like, well, don't go buy like a year's worth of insurance on your funds in Aave if you might be moving those funds to another, you know, application. But that's one of the, you know, and this is full disclosure, I am involved and invested in Nexus Mutual.
Yep.
But Nexus Mutual, Cover Protocol, Unslashed Finance, Ensure, which just came off of their alpha. And then there was another one too, Insure Ace, I think is the name of it, that's brand new.
We know them.
There's tons of these. Bridge Mutual too.
Yes, of course.
So these are or are going to be options for someone to essentially buy car insurance in DeFi and to say, hey, like a really obvious example is if I'm staking Aave in the Aave safety module, just think of it as this. I'm essentially putting up my Aave and I'm earning interest on top of it. If I'm doing that and I intend to do that for at least 30 days or more, it might make sense for me to go buy some insurance and say, I want 30 days of cover protection against a smart contract bug, some sort of like an exploit, a hack. Long story short, if you're more interested in that, if you go to DeFiDad.com, I've got some videos on Nexus Mutual, but they're very applicable to all the other ones that we just talked about. And I would encourage you, check them all out.
I'd love to have a special episode or even a panel on the insurance space. I think it's a tremendously exciting and rich space, tangent and adjacent to kind of derivatives and other kind of financial mechanisms, as well as kind of self-insurances, I think are interesting industry perspective.
It's such a cool thing.
But let's jump quickly to kind of the broader things. Like, you have a show, really great show, and you know, I think Yield TV is kind of filled with a lot of the great DeFi usual suspects. So I guess what I'd love to do is have you kind of shout out some of your favorite, most insightful episodes. You know, I'm happy to link those in the show notes for this so that people can go visit that, you know, but I'd love to kind of have you give a couple shout outs. Like, what are your favorite episodes of ELTV? You can just give the names of them or the guests, and I'll find them, and we'll share them.
No, I appreciate that. It has been such like an insanely busy and exciting last few months.
Of course.
So, you know, as I like look across these, gosh, there's so many, and a lot of these folks have been on your show as well. Okay. If I'm trying to like rank it in my head here, okay, so I tend to focus more on DeFi, but I have always counted NFTs as falling under that umbrella.
Yeah.
So I would say one of the most interesting interviews that I've had recently was I interviewed, it's an anonymous collector. He is either he has the largest collection of NFTs in the world or the second largest.
Wow.
I'm not quite sure. There's a few of these people that are competing with each other. His name is a Whale Shark, and
the Whale, you know, Shark,
the Whale Shark.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great interview.
He shared a lot of his insights into, like, you know, he said, "Hey, I don't invest in 99.9% of NFTs I see," even though he has this incredibly large collection. And so he shared a lot of the mindset that goes into like how he values them. And you know, I would warn people, like, we've definitely started to hit a little bit of a frothy market in terms of NFT.
I agree. So, like, I'm with you.
I like Whale Shark. I think he's very well grounded. And, you know, you think about, you want to listen to people who have been thinking about NFTs for the last few years versus there's a lot of people that are suddenly self-proclaimed.
Sounds like a great episode. I will absolutely recommend it. Any others come to mind? I mean, obviously it's a grab bag. You know, it's not about favorites. It's just about like a sample platter.
Yeah, I'd say, like, so we've spent a few episodes also adjacent to like Whale Shark in Decentraland. That's really fun. If people want to see what does it look like in a digital first community where you're in VR, but you can check it out on your computer. What happens when you live in a digital first community? You need digital first finance. So suddenly DeFi makes total sense because you have no other option. Like, you're living in a world that is
understand.
It is very reminiscent of like a Ready Player One story. So there's that. I'd say also like really easy episode to watch is on Lido. Lido Finance allows you to
I'm very excited about Ethereum staking products and you know, the financialization of Ethereum staking. So I'm pumped up about it. I'll definitely check that out. So really appreciate your pointers. You know, it's always fun. There's always just a tremendous, you know, it's, and it, all the guests are different. They just have different kinds of, like, some shows really spark and you catch fire. So in a good way. So, you know, it's great. It's great to get some of your picks, you know, and of course that'll help people kind of get a smoother access to all of the rich content that you provide. So, you know, really appreciate it.
Yeah. It's a lot of these interviews, I wouldn't expect someone to want to sit down and just watch every single interview, but there's no doubt. I mean, I can speak firsthand to the fact that a lot of the investment decisions that I personally make, which again, remember, this is not an investment advice, but for me personally, having like only, I've only been in this space for a little over 3 years. I mean, I have learned so much more in just the last like 6 to 12 months because of interviews like that, because I'm like learning about the people behind the scenes that are building. And you do start to notice trends amongst what are more successful DeFi teams, you know, the teams that are attracting more liquidity. And it's not just a coincidence, you know,
as a final question, and that's almost the core of what I'm really trying to do with my show is, what are the few things that you would, ask people to look for, on terms of successful DeFi entrepreneurs? Like, you know, what are the characteristics? Just give me your top three, and then, you know, and then we have to close after that.
That's tough.
Like, what do you look for? Even a top one. Yeah. Like, what are the things that you look at and you're like, whoa, that's important?
you know, I'm trying to think of how to verbalize this. There are those people who just embody the ethos of open source software. They embody the ethos of wanting to do good for the world. And they, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like everyone just shuts their brain off and doesn't recognize that in many of these protocols, almost all of them, there's a token involved. And so there's a tremendous amount of upside there.
Yep.
But you can read it when you talk to, when you meet a team like the Uniswap team or like an Aave.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. That's sort of the pure beating heart of DeFi, the beating heart of Ethereum, right? You're really talking about this. You're wearing an Ethereum shirt. You know, if you look at the symbol, like it's the symbol obviously implies things like transparency. It implies things yes. like integrity, right? The geometry of it. Like, you know, there are so many things about this soul essence, right? That, you know, there's just structuredness. There's cleanliness. There's transparency. There's, you know, commitment. There's so many facets and elements. I definitely am catching this vibe from you, and you know, I will make it investment advice, right? Which is, don't invest in people that are like shady and scammy, and like, you know. And I think I don't think either you or I would be necessarily interviewing anyone like that, but like, you know, but I would say that, like, you know, even within the people that we do talk to, you can actually notice. And part of my show is about that. It's about like the people, and it's about allowing each person to make their own decisions, right? Each person should look and be like, who is this? And who am I hearing? And is this person, like, is this someone who I can feel good about backing and who I trust and, you know, who's worthwhile? So,
It was like, even like for me, when I was just doing my own DeFi tutorials, one of the things I was adhering to is, I wasn't ever taking money to do a tutorial. I was like really focused on like, I'm going to do what I think is important and try to curate what I think users need to learn about. Now, if someone wants to, after the fact, if people are like, hey, thanks for doing that on our protocol. I have received some community grants, which I thought was very generous. It was like an after the fact.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Sort of thing. But no, there's like sins that I've learned from, especially in that last bull market where I'm like, you have to be transparent. You have to disclose when you're invested in something.
Watch who's disclosing and who's not, because it's you know. And obviously in DeFi, you have certain players like, you know, Robert Leshner and Stani. You have these super players and Kane Warwick and others who are invested in almost everyone. So like, they can't be kind of constantly. But when you watch people like that, you're like, well, those people all like have incredible reputations and incredible transparency and honesty. So like, you know, you don't worry about people like that. But what I'd love to do is, let's close this episode for now. I think we hit the top of the hour. Super awesome. It's great to spend time with you, and definitely encourage everyone to go check out DeFi Dad. You can Google, you can get it into YouTube. Also, encourage you to check out Yield TV and check out Zapper. These are all really valuable community resources for DeFi. So thanks so much for joining the show.
No, thanks for having me, Miko. And if it's tv.zapper.fi if folks want to check that out.
Perfect.
For Yield TV, and then defidad.com from my own separate YouTube. But yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for all the work you do. I mean, these interviews, the way you format it, it's very friendly for both new and advanced folks in the community.
That's absolutely intent. I'm glad you caught that. Thanks so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye everyone.